Prologue. The Ice Age had come to an end. Warmth had returned. It was as if, over an eternity, the sun had become afraid of its own shadow, but had eventually decided to return and make all creatures share the shadow equally. In the beginning, there were the caves, the deep, damp mazes of tight spaces where people hid to protect themselves from the elements and the beasts outside. Long labyrinthine trails like the insides of a python led the inhabitants to their dark vaults. Deep within the earth, they found their places of purity, their temples, their shrines. The women and children had discovered the caves almost by accident. In most cases, it started with just one or two victims seeking refuge in the chasms, but over time, their numbers grew. They explored the depths, the dark pools, and the dripping wet floors. They, too, were startled on occasion by the ominous and feverish echoes that came from everywhere at once, as though the stones and the soil themselves were possessed by divine spirits. There was no doubt that during those days, the power of the feminine seemed almost magical or mystical to prehistoric males. The wonder and marvel of the birthing and feeding process had no equal for the men and boys, but it didn't stop them from trying to break and control women and their daughters. It's a wonder our ancestors survived. And so, the women and children would protect themselves for hours, sometimes days at a time, while madness continued in the camps above. These were places of healing, of rest and repair. The men wouldn't enter the caves. For some reason, they feared the cramped quarters. Perhaps it was the ghoulish echoes that emanated from the depths beyond. Shadows danced on the cave walls, like ghosts or evil spirits. Every time the men drew near, a sense of panic overcame them. They didn't know that the tight, long paths, sometimes just a foot in height, forcing them to crawl with their faces in the mud, opened up into broad, open areas. They didn't know that on the other end of the challenging, plodding descent, life flourished. The darkness was slowly replaced by the soft light of flames, flickering up from handfuls of oil-soaked bones and skins they had gathered. Pools of resin and oil were collected to feed these primitive lights, which aided them in their work as they hid in the depths. Smoke and wraiths appeared on the walls and ceiling, providing inspiration, protecting them from outsiders. The flames were like hints of the faded sun, pale in comparison to the great light that was outside, but soothing enough to calm them and allow them to feel warmth again. Their own shadows would mimic them and flicker through the night, in response to the fire, dancing on the walls like ghostly mirages. They would stay close, seemingly protecting the cave artists from what lurked beyond the tight opening. The women developed games and entertainment. They danced, told stories, and sang what they could sing. They performed rituals to honor other women who had come and gone before them. Many had not healed, and the survivors paid their respects. It was thus in the caves that humans first created art. It was in these moments of looking into the infinite depths of ourselves that we started to understand what waited beyond. From this art came writing. From writing came communication and eventually civilizations and the resulting rules that these spawned. As humans became more civilized, the female form grew to be revered equally to the powerful beasts that had surrounded prehistoric people. These more civilized people took to creating art, and this art became the first true technology that the new humanoids were able to build upon, step by step. Of course, they didn't know that there were many women around the world experiencing the same levels of woe and anxiety mixed with their celebrations of life. The patterns were repeated globally, almost perfectly, giving birth to ritual, song, and language. The ceilings of caves began to be painted with images of the stars and planets that the people longed to see. In time, however, these images were obscured by the ash and smoke that drifted upward. The inhabitants used anything they could find to paint the images: mud, their own waste, menstrual fluids, and colorful juices from herbs and leaves from the outside. The children helped by placing their small hands against the cave walls. The women drew outlines of these, depicting crowd upon crowd applauding the grim spectacle of the angry mothers. They drew herds of wild beasts, including stags and bison, owls and other unknown birds, small amphibians and fish, a magnificent volume of creatures swimming and running. Many of these animals, of course, are now extinct due to either changes in the climate or their ruthless pursuit by humans. All were cast members in the great play that continued evening after evening, day after day. Many current-day anthropologists and mythologists speculate that the images depict men as shamans or great warriors taking down the beasts and controlling them. But it wasn't until recently that we learned that they actually show the men being assaulted by bigger beasts, being ravaged by animals that had been taunted and treated cruelly. In one cave in France, for example, there's an image of what is obviously a man, his penis jutting out from his crudely drawn body, being destroyed by a buffalo-like animal. There's another image close by, showing an animal seemingly shitting on the man. This, then, was nature's response to the onslaught of these new ape-like creatures that destroyed everything in their paths. The cave dwellers had created these depictions as warnings to future generations. The message being that we don't die when we save the next generation. Eventually, the men cooperated and focused on the hunt of animals and not their own kind, but that too changed over time.